A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Two pitch to Tappy on the way, swinging a fly ball to center field, coming in Julio, he makes the catch and the ball game is over. The Mariners win the wild card series. They're going to Houston to take on the Astros in one of the most incredible, miraculous finishes and comebacks we have ever seen. The Mariners celebrate with a two-game sweep over the Blue Jays here in Toronto. The Mariners win it.
That was a preposterous comeback. Good morning and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I am Paul Gallant. You want to jump aboard, you heard what the voice guy said, 713-780-3776 to call or text, twitch.tv/ESPN975 on Twitter at Gallant Says. Sean Mapes wearing a Houston Astros hat behind the glass. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, Paul. Now it's 2 days in a row. How are you?
Yeah, see.
Do anything fun this weekend?
Yeah, Festipal went to ACL, and Festipal had his cell phone swiped from his pocket late on Saturday night. The reason that I was aware of this is because, as you just heard right there, the Mariners, my side bay, completed an incredible comeback from down 8-1 in the sixth inning against the Toronto Blue Jays to complete a two-game sweep. And now, the Houston Astros, starting tomorrow afternoon, will play my side thing. Who's Paul going to root for in this series? I don't know. Maybe I'm going to wear my Mara Rose shirt tomorrow, as I have before. Maybe you guys on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston can determine it. Here is all I am going to say just based off of this past weekend. You know, because I was at a festival, ACL, and the vibes were immaculate outside of when my cell phone was stolen from my pocket. Again, I'm impressed by the pickpocket. You know, sometimes you just have to tip your hat. Because it was one of those moments where, yes, your boy was dancing up a storm, but at the same time, you know, you get in my personal space. Ooh, might get a little elbowy. I might get a little shovey. I might get a little mosh pit. I might be exactly what you guys are when you hear your favorite Pantera song, which maybe I'm not the biggest fan of, but, you know, the testosterone, it hits hard. But someone took it. And the vibes were still immaculate for the Seattle Mariners, even with my phone gone. Thinking to myself, wow, how the hell did they pull this off? Because I remember when I was able to get signal with that cell phone of mine, looking at the score and saying, oh, okay, so this is actually going to work out for the Astros. They're going to play a team that's spent. They're going to play a team that's played three games in a row. They're going to play a team that, okay, maybe, just maybe, it's the Blue Jays. I wouldn't really like that as far as the matchup goes. But maybe it'll be a Mariners team that is completely taxed. But things went so well as I talk about those vibes for Seattle in that game on Saturday. I mean, think about this. There's two outs. You got the bases loaded. J.P. Crawford's at the plate in the eighth inning. And next thing you know, it's a tie game after the Toronto Blue Jays had two of their players essentially kill one another in the outfield. Here's what that sounded like.
Crawford to center field, not deep. Sprinting in Springer, and Bichette and Springer collide. The ball falls, and everybody's going to score. The Mariners have tied the game, and now Bichette and Springer are laid out in the outfield.
You heard that weird little groan at the end? I'm not sure if that was from the broadcast, but that kind of was how you felt seeing George Springer get taken out like that. I mean, that, for a moment, and you watch the replay, you're thinking, oh, Jesus, is he going to be okay? And then, as you heard coming in, the Mariners were able to take the lead in the ninth inning. I feel like they got a lot of momentum right now, and that does concern me a little bit. And I talked about it last week. I don't like the way that baseball set up this year's playoffs. I really don't. Because I feel like for a team like the Astros, where you are the first overall seed in the playoffs, you should have had the ability to play the absolute worst team, say the Cleveland Guardians lost to the Tampa Bay Rays. You should have been able to play the Rays. Instead, you got the 4-5 matchup. So you could have ended up with Toronto. You end up with a red-hot Seattle team. And what's worse, Seattle's going to have a bunch of off days over the next few to, I guess, get that pitching back on track, to get Luis Castillo out there as soon as possible. He was great on Friday. He goes 7 1/3, pitched deep into that game, a game where the Mariners scored all of the runs that they needed early on, 3 runs in the first, and Luis Castillo can just sit on it the rest of the way. They got a lot of momentum right now, and I don't know if you guys are big into believing, hey, momentum is going to carry you through the playoffs, but I am. And I feel like because the home field advantage for a team like the Astros is kind of minimized by, first off, the day off that the Mariners get Sunday, the day off that they get today, the day off in between Tuesday's and Thursday's games, the day off in between Thursday's and Saturday's game, and just the fact that this team is playing, I think, as if they are destined to win at this point in time. It's weird to say, hey, it's superstitious. There's a lot of vibes positively going in the Mariners' way, but like, damn, things are kind of adding up for Seattle. So we'll see what, of course, happens tomorrow afternoon. And if you have any thoughts on this series, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I mean, the Mariners won a series in two games over the Toronto Blue Jays where their best player, Julio Rodriguez, hit like 143. I mean, the best thing he did in that game was get hit by a pitch in the first at-bat that helped set up that three-run inning that they had. That was legitimately the best moment for him. The guy that was carrying them all weekend is the Mariners' catcher, who was a top prospect not too long ago and has a massive hiney. His nickname is Big Dumper. Credit to ESPN for the Big J work that they did here, as Tim Kirchen describes why Cal Raleigh's nickname is Big Dumper.
The Big Dumper is his nickname. So I asked one of the teammates, why do you call him that? He goes, well, his butt is as big as a trailer. So I asked Cal Raleigh, and he said, yep, that's pretty accurate. So
he's a damn good player, too. And I look at the Mariners top to bottom, and E315 is saying, Paul, you're still bitching about the fact that the Astros' home field advantage is slightly minimized going into this series. Well, just because the Mariners are a little hot, yeah. Because if Raleigh's going to be able to continue to hit like that, he's on fire right now. Julio is able to wake up. I'm just saying, this is a team that on paper does not look like it has the lineup to match with you, but they do have the pitching. They do have the pitching to frustrate an Astros lineup that from time to time hasn't been great. Obviously, you feel really good about this Astros lineup going into the postseason with the way that Jose Altuve played to wrap the season up. Same thing when it comes to Yordan Alvarez, too. A lot of guys are hitting very well for the Astros going in. So it's not like they hit a wall or something like that, but you have a couple of days off, 5 days, 6 days off before you play that first game, and you play against a Seattle team that gets a couple of games over the weekend, and now they've won 5 in a row. I'm just saying, they got a little momentum on their side, and I sometimes feel like that's enough. It does feel like playoff baseball is a little bit different on that front. And yeah, this Mariners team is giving me 2015 Astros vibes. I kind of felt that last year when I was in Seattle covering them, where, they finished the season off very strong. There was something about them where you're like, you know, all they need is one of these young players to come up and really play well. And, of course, they've gotten that with Julio, and Cal Raleigh's also taken a big step forward. So we'll see how it goes. I think that this is going to be a very gritty series. And I know that some people are like, are you torn? I don't think I'm actually torn. I might mess around and wear the Mara Rose jersey tomorrow just to mess with some people. But, I mean, you got to go with your wife. You got to go with the one who's, I don't know, helping you pay the bills, too. And I mean, that would be the Houston Astros. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll wear the Mara Rose shirt tomorrow. Or should I just continue to do it? Do people not want me to root for the Houston Astros in this series? Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You get to determine that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet me at Gallant Says. If you have any thoughts on the Seattle Mariners, who I feel like are really hot going into this series against the Houston Astros. Coming up next, the Texans, they won. So wasn't exactly the most enjoyable watch, but they won. Does it have you feeling any differently about this team going forward? We'll talk about that next and tell you how they were able to get the W as well. Right here, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at BUSR.com/ESPN. Look, people, you want to make some money gambling on the sports? That's where you go. because you're going to double your deposit within the first 24 hours of joining that website. And on top of that, you can bet on whatever you want. Maybe you want to bet on the Houston Astros because you think that I'm full of it, talking about all this momentum that the Seattle Mariners have. Maybe you're someone who's thinking to yourself, you know what? Maybe the Texans actually can get that over after beating the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game where, man, the Jaguars, they're just a dumb team. Maybe it's looking at college football. Oh, I feel good about Haynes King and the Texas A&M Aggies, even though Jimbo Fisher drew up one of the worst possible plays in a moment that could have potentially seen Texas A&M upset Alabama. Whatever you want to gamble on, BUSR.com/ESPN is where you want to do it. Roulette, blackjack, horse racing, a casino, and of course, betting on all of the sports. Sign up today, BUSR.com/ESPN.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Can they get one here in Jacksonville? Pierce breaking tackles. Pierce still on his feet. And they finally bring him down.
Is that James Lofton in the background? A little sexual sounding there.
I feel like James Lofton calls all the Texans games.
Poor guy. I'll take, you know what? I'll let him have his little Lofton-gasm right there, because that was not an easy watch yesterday, was it? No, it wasn't. I was in Austin this weekend for ACL, and I was going to get up really early in the morning and drive back to Houston so I could watch the game from the confines of my own home. Instead, went out to a restaurant with some friends, watched the game on television, and they were not happy when I asked them to put the game on television. They were not happy at all about that.
Can we get some sound on the Jags text?
Yeah, I was asking for it. I was like, hey, let's turn the volume up a little bit. And, oh, yeah, you have a good game on right now? No, let's watch Texas's football team. Thank you. And at the very least, the game was quick. But you have to be nice, right? Look, they deserve credit for taking advantage of a dumb, dumb, dumb Jacksonville Jaguars team and getting that first victory of the year. It does make you look back at the last couple of weeks and think to yourself, man, why couldn't they get at least one more? See the way that the Chicago Bears lost to the Vikings yesterday? They think they have a first down and some Vikings player swaggerjacked the Chicago Bear of the football like I was swaggerjacked of my cell phone on Saturday night. Not bitter about it still. No, not me. No way. The Bears lost in embarrassing fashion where, you know, they at least, I don't know, hung around Justin Fields, 200-plus yards passing, like 205 yards. You also saw the Los Angeles Chargers try to lose a game to the Cleveland Browns, too. So you get frustrated about those. But look, this team's going to go wherever Dameon Pierce takes them. You heard Dameon Pierce on that awesome run where he broke 8-9 tackles to get the Texans down inside the 5 and eventually score a touchdown. It was a drive, though, that was aided by the Jacksonville Jaguars being a bunch of dummies. Javon Walker was the first overall pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's definitely had some nice little flashes earlier this year. But, I mean, this was probably, outside of the big Dameon Pierce one that you heard, the Texans' second biggest offensive play of the day.
Well, maybe just get into the range of Fairbairn, who's hit a couple of from 50 mils. This one whistled dead. And there's a late flag. Boy, the follow-through.
There were two fouls during the play, both by the defense. Neutral zone infraction. Defense number 44. That penalty is declined. Dead ball, personal foul, when necessary roughness. Defense number 44.
Yeah. Dum-dum. Doug Peterson can only clean up so much. I also want to point at Trevor Lawrence and everyone who said, you know, it was all Urban Meyer's fault that this guy struggled his first year. I suppose he can still get better, but do you envision this guy becoming one of the top quarterbacks in the game with what you saw yesterday? I mean, he's missing open receivers regularly, and it's obviously frustrating for us every single Sunday watching Davis Mills, who is not good under pressure, gets happy feet. He had a couple moments like that himself yesterday. Really, the only nice plays downfield were because of Nico Collins making acrobatic jumps over other Jaguars defensive backs. But back to Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence is a guy who I just don't think is a very smart football player. I don't. And then on top of that, throw a little inaccuracy to season his dumb plays. I mean, that interception he threw to Derek Stingley, what are you doing there? This is a guy that, as someone on the Twitch brought up, twitch.tv/ESPN975, this is why you don't need the first overall pick necessarily if you're the Houston Texans. And I mean, that's how I feel about it. You could end up with the first overall pick. You can tank your way into getting that number one spot. But I mean, what does that necessarily do for you? Does that mean that you're going to get Bryce Young, who is injured and couldn't even find his way back into the game against Texas A&M, even with the way that Milroe was playing? Maybe they're trying to be safe. Maybe they, you know, keeping an eye on just the way that things are going for quarterbacks of late. And yeah, not a concussion we're talking about here, but looking at Tua Tagovailoa and saying, all right, let's be a little bit more careful with him. Will Levis might be the first overall pick, the quarterback from Kentucky. But I mean, like, does that really excite you? Does that make you feel like you're going to get someone who conceptually is a Trevor Lawrence, and then that person doesn't even end up being particularly good? So I'm happy that the Texans won yesterday. I do think you can't be like a giant rain cloud of negativity at all moments when it comes to watching that football team. But I mean, you won that game because the Jaguars are dumb. The Jaguars got stopped on 3 4th downs. The Jaguars had 2 interceptions. The Jaguars just aren't a very good football team. Hey, you took advantage of it. You're at least not the worst team in the NFL. You're not the Commanders. You're not the Lions. You're not much better than those two teams. But look, you got to take the wins where you can get them. Damian Pierce, that's all we got. I think Sean Mapes, if we go back to the Texans Minister of Propaganda, once again, it's just Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce, that is the answer to every single question. It's like, hey, did you see Damian Pierce, though? Damian Pierce. And by the way, he didn't even have 100 yards rushing, but whatever.
I was going to say, this game was like a normal football game, but you just cut everything in half. Like all the yards, all the points, you just cut in half. And it's like, yeah, he was really impressive with 26 carries and 96 yards. Like, and one touchdown at the very end of the game. The
twitch.tv/ESPN975, definitely not feeling the game. Enfuentes Respector, oh great, let's just win a bunch of 13-6 games and pray that the leftovers are the franchise quarterback. Well, do you really want to lose every game, though? Is that an enjoyable experience? Like, I get it. Maybe it does help having that first overall pick, but I mean, you need a lot of help on the defensive line. You need a lot of help at linebacker. Like, an all-pro quarterback or a plus quarterback is not changing this thing overnight. Like, they got a long way to go.
I will say, though, it would be more fun if they lost except for this week, or how they lost yesterday, but how the Lions lose, where every game is like 46-48, and it's like, but then they lose.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions didn't score a point yesterday. Too.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Except for that game.
Yeah. That game was different.
Yeah, but when you have like the number one offense and also you lose every game, that's how you want to do it.
Todd the Show says, Pierce looks pretty good, but he is going to get murdered all year. He might not make it to year 4. The way he runs does not seem like he has long for this world. So I guess you just have to enjoy it while you have it.
Thank God Dan Mullen saved him as much as
that's true. You know what, Sean? Thank you for bringing that up. He's got a lot of, what's the term? You have a lot of tread left
tread
on the
on
tires.
The tires, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of tread on the tires left. You know, he's not letting go all the way down to the absolute worst point they can, which is what I do. Amazingly, though, not a lot of flat tires over the course of my life. Knock on wood.
You're going to say that after literally a week ago you had car trouble?
Can't get worse. Can't get worse. In 1 week, my car stopped working, and on top of that, I had my phone stolen. Can't get any worse. Positive vibes only. Just like the Houston Texans. Going forward, hell yeah. It's all uphill from here. Going to the bye week, you come on out. Oh, feeling great. Who's not feeling great? Matt Rhule just got canned, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, 11-27, a 289 winning percentage. He is the first one to go. I thought that Ron Rivera maybe would have a chance to get bleep canned before him, but it is Matt Rhule who goes first, and we'll see if he ends up being the head coach of Nebraska.
It is funny that it's like, yeah, get this guy out of here. He stinks. I think I saw a stat where, like, if the opponent scores more than, like, 17 points, he was, like, 28 or something.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, he's the savior of Nebraska football.
Maybe. Like, best case scenario for him. But I don't know. You get a 7-year, $62 million gig to coach in the NFL.
That's nice.
Which is what the Panthers gave him. Would you ever really want to coach again?
Well, no, I would never. I would take the first bag. I wouldn't coach after Baylor. I would just be like, oh, all right, cool, I'm out.
Just Urban Meyer your way out of it.
Except Urban Meyer keeps coming back. I would just leave.
Yeah. He has found his way onto television. Will Matt Rhule get on television wearing his smock? I don't know. I don't think so.
Respectfully, not doesn't seem like a TV personality or face.
Oh, wow. That was kind of mean, Sean. Well, why do you say that?
I just can't picture him on a you know studio desk being like, they need to run the ball more.
I could picture him on a television show. Remember Man vs. Food back in the day with Adam Rich?
This is so much meaner.
Well, I'm just saying. I could see him on that. That doesn't mean that I think he's like out of shape. He just looks like someone who could eat a lot of ribs or something.
He also kind of looks like an impractical joker. I don't know. He doesn't actually look like one, but if you just showed a picture of him and you're like, one of these guys isn't an impractical joker, you would not guess Matt Rhule.
Have you ever watched that show? I have not.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, all the time?
Yeah, it's always on.
Okay.
And so if you just like are watching like TBS after the Final Four.
That's what I mean. Like, that's the only time I ever put on. I don't even think it's on TBS. I think it's on True TV. I think that's the only time.
Oh, yeah, it is on True TV.
713-780-3776 to jump aboard. 713-780-ESPN. If you have any thoughts on the Astros, you are welcome to bring them to the table. We will discuss them in every single segment if you got a thought on it. A text, this one from the 832. If you wore that split jersey when the Astros swept the Mariners that last series, when the Mariners claimed that they were going to hand it to the Astros, then yes, go ahead and wear it tomorrow. Ah, good point. Good point. The next series did not go. I mean, it was a little closer. The next series, wasn't it?
We
the
only
Astros
need
took
one,
three of four, but it was like, you know.
We only need one series.
That's true.
Out of this, as this jersey.
Just one. Astros country, let's ride. Another text, 713-780-3776. Seattle had a 14-game winning streak with plenty of momentum. The Astros put an end to that, too. That is true as well. Julio Rodriguez got hurt in that series where I wore the half shirt. And then he did not, I don't think, play in the second series. Off the top of my head, I believe he was out. So, I don't know. We'll see. But he didn't look great against Toronto. I just feel like that Seattle's got a lot of momentum right now. And that does concern me a little bit. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet me, at Gallant Says as well. Up next, we go around the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys beat the defending Super Bowl champs. And this team is 4-1? How? We'll talk about that next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Some of y'all are funny when it comes to football time in Houston. From the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, E315 says, I feel punished having to watch the Texans. They will start winning. They aren't getting the number one pick. Pinch 8 comments, Lovey should have Mills practice flopping at critical moments of the game to pretend to get shoved for more yardage because it didn't work on the critical drive of the game, 3rd and 20, with Rex Burkhead on the field probably about to get a screen. They decide, you know what? I'm Javon Walker. I'm going to jump off sides and assault Davis Mills. By the way, flopping as a quarterback worked out very well this weekend, or just getting tackled as a quarterback, as we saw with Grady Jarrett taking down Tom Brady on a 3rd and 6. Clear sack. Should have just been a sack. They called roughing the passer. It's my Lord and Savior, but geez, that was an awful, awful call. And I feel bad for the Falcons who just continue to get owned by Tom Brady.
The Tua hit was harder, and it was just like a play on. He's hurt. Okay. But, like, this, it was such a normal play.
Really was. Really, really was. And it's one of the things that frustrates me about the NFL. We have gotten very, very protective of quarterbacks, and I get it. The things with Tua happen from time to time. But it's football. It's violent. We still watch it. I know you want to protect these guys and have them out there every single week, but does that really protect him? Classic Jerome Boger. Anyway, Another twitch.tv/ESPN975 comment. And Fuentes Respector, winning yesterday proved nothing and did nothing for the team. Like, this is why.
I kind of believe that. I agree with that.
Why? You're going to enable all this negative energy, man.
No, I mean, they didn't play well. They just won.
Yeah, but a win is a win. In the National Football League, winning is important because one win plus another win plus another win could have your team in the playoffs.
Who impressed you most in the Texans game?
Dameon Pierce.
And then?
Dameon Pierce.
And then?
Derek Stingley had an interception.
Yeah, it was thrown right to him.
Desmond King had a couple of deflected passes.
He had the garbage time interception, too.
That's true. Special teams, they are still good.
Yeah, there are three phases to the game.
The game was quick. Eight minute drive to the 49-yard line on 4th-and-1, only to punt. 8 minutes to go from your own 1 to the 49. A 50-yard drive.
Disgusting. That's disgusting football.
I don't know. I kind of like that one.
Great win.
It's like a seventh of the game is taken up by a drive to the 49-yard line.
It ends in a punt. We're Iowa football. Ball control. That's who we are. We are Iowa.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's good if you win.
It's not good.
No, you're just a hater. You don't
winning.
Get it. You don't get it.
They won their first one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, bitch. They're going places. And by places, I mean not to the first overall pick. Okay, I'm sorry. Beating this one to death. The Dallas Cowboys, they're 4-1 after taking down the defending Super Bowl champions. That defense, it is damn good.
3rd-and-1, fake, pressure comes, Stafford is buried, ball is out, it's picked up by Dallas, rumbling for the end zone is Lawrence, he's going to get there for the touchdown!
Look, I did not think that after Cooper Rush came in for Dak Prescott all those weeks ago that we would be talking about a 4-1 Dallas Cowboys team that's about to play a 5-0 Philadelphia Eagles team on Sunday Night Football, but that's what we're going to be talking about on Sunday Night Football, an NFC East game that actually lives up to the billing with Dak Prescott probably back. This defense is damn good. I think it could take Dallas very far. I really do. I have questions about the offense when Dak's back. I'm not the biggest Dak Prescott guy, but man, DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, they are loaded on the defensive side of things. As far as the Los Angeles Rams go, they need to, I don't know, give Odell Beckham Jr. a nice gift basket and get him into the building. They have no help. It's just Cooper Kupp. And Cooper Kupp has somehow, despite being the only guy on the Rams that's worthy of paying attention to, still produced. He still produced in that game. Didn't he have like a beautiful like one-handed touchdown catch and run? It was really impressive. But that's it. That's all they got in L.A. Not looking good for them. I don't hate to see it. I don't. What else do we have? Oh, guess what? The New York Giants are 4-1. How? I don't know. But Brian Daboll and company took down the Green Bay Packers early yesterday morning in London. After the game, Aaron Rodgers had some interesting thoughts for Jair Alexander, who was asked, hey, how do you feel? And he said, like, well, look, if we lose next week against the New York Jets, that's not good. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like to hear about that kind of negative energy.
And frankly, I don't like all this conversation about losing next week. I'm a firm believer in the power of words and manifestation. And we got to check ourselves on that because talking about that is not, that's not winning football. There was conversation about it in the locker room, and I don't like it. And Ja's my guy, but we don't need to be talking like that.
The power of words. He can be a bit of a douche from time to time. Rodgers, remember him talking about the power of words when it comes to the word, I think, drug, not too long ago. Oh, you're calling ayahuasca a drug. Well, it's organic, man.
Comes from the earth.
It comes from the earth, dude. So my wife told me.
Medicine is the real drug.
That's true. Big pharma. You know, they'll get their hooks into you.
Think about it.
Yeah. Don't manifest negative energy out there. My bae, Blue of Earth, she's helped me see the light. Giants are 4-1. I have no idea how that happened. I mean, shoot, like, Daniel Jones stinks. It's just Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley is their best quarterback.
You know what's also incredible, Sean, like just to compare the Giants to the Texans? I mean, the Giants are similarly talentless. They have a great running back who is doing everything for them, and they're 4-1. And you are not.
But undefeated in... No.
Undefeated in the AFC South. Yeah, you're right.
I always forget that the Colts game, they did not lose.
It is a tie. There it felt like a loss.
Undefeated in the division. We're back in there.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
We're back in the division race.
Bye week, you play the Raiders afterwards. Next thing you know, you're 2-3-1. Momentum. This is a team, you know, they started out 0-3 once, and guess what? 1-9 in a row. It can happen.
People never talk about that.
They don't. They really don't. They should, but they could. What else did we have across the National Football League? The Philadelphia Eagles, still undefeated, but barely. And it's because Kyler Murray, who is wearing easily the worst suit that I've ever seen, like he looked like a 45-year-old woman who is still trying to go to brunch and brunch hard. I mean, it just wasn't a good look. He wore that before the game. And at the end of the game, this happened, and I still am really confused because the Cardinals are driving. You think to yourself, "Hey, well, they're gonna win this thing. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to be beaten. This is going to be a great win for Cliff Kingsbury. Let's see if we can send it to overtime." Kyler Murray, a just smorgasbord of dum dum right here.
Murray is going to run them into position, sliding. Let's check that spot if it's at a first down. If they give him that when he gave himself up, and they're going to mark it a little bit short, so you spike it. Now you have to
kick. Well, I don't know why you spike in that situation.
And he needed to be more aware. If you're going to slide, you've got to get the first down in that situation.
You have to get the slide.
He scrambled, slid short of a first down, like he's Tate Martell in the movie The Replacements, and then spiked the ball. So the Cardinals had to kick a field goal right there, and they just shanked the absolute crap out of it. It was a terrible kick, way far to the right, like not even close.
He was bad enough in practice to where the broadcast team already had the, like, here's all the kicks he missed in practice, and he missed it the exact same way.
It was terrible. Who was that? Chase McLaughlin?
No, it was Matt Amendola.
He's
the guy who lost the game for the Chiefs last week. Or not last week, but against the Colts.
I think he was on the Texans in this offseason, too. I could be wrong on that
Maybe.
One. I think he was.
Yeah, he's like by far like the worst kicker in the league until he's not in the league like later today. And compare that with the Eagles just grabbing our guy, Cameron Dicker, off the street.
Oh, Cameron Dicker. Yeah, I love Cameron Dicker.
Really, really, you know, tale of two cities right there.
My close personal friend, Cameron Dicker.
Cameron Dicker is a good friend of mine.
That game for Philadelphia, they're still undefeated. They are not the most impressive undefeated team. I mean, would you say that they're the best team in the NFL right now? Probably not. And I'm curious as to how that game is going to go Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. If I had to pick right now, I would pick the Dallas Cowboys. The other Sunday night football game, the Baltimore Ravens, they edge the Cincinnati Bengals. Justin Tucker is so damn good. And he is so cocky for a kicker. But you understand it. Like, it's totally warranted. He's 25 of 26 in last-minute field goals to take the lead now or to tie a game over the course of his career.
How about him getting the post-game interview?
I mean, it made sense. The Ravens weren't scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, I guess so. It felt a little weird just
Why?
To be like, here's Justin Tucker.
Kickers matter.
No, they do, but I feel like it's only Justin Tucker that gets that post. You know, Cameron Dicker didn't get the post-game.
Yes, because he's, I mean, no offense to Cameron Dicker. He's Cameron Dicker. I mean, Justin Tucker's, I'll even say this, I love Adam Vinatieri. Grew up watching him with the Patriots, but Tucker's the best kicker of all time.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he only got the they normally will never talk to the kicker.
But right.
It's like, oh, it's Justin Tucker. It'll be a fun bit to talk to the kicker.
And he's kind of weird, so, you know.
He's kind of weird.
It's not the end of the world.
But you do have to be kind of weird to be that good at kicking. Or yes. Anything, really.
Twitch.tv, Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby on the Twitch. Didn't know that. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Randy Bullock is the worst kicker in the league. No. It's. I'm telling you, it's Matt Amendola. That guy is rough. I mean, shoot. If you were the Chiefs, like, why didn't you just use Justin Reed as your kicker? I mean, is it that much worse?
Just go for two and fourth down every time. You have Patrick Mahomes.
Seriously. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is also how you could call or text. If you have any thoughts on the Houston Astros as they start their series against the Seattle Mariners tomorrow, they are welcome to the table at any point in time. For example, this one. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Seattle Antifa doesn't stand a chance, Paul, wrote Junior Broncos. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, listen. Antifa, you never know when they'll come for you. And if you don't have the right protest buzzwords on your door, you they might take you down.
They messed up that Starbucks or whatever.
They did. Yeah. Yeah. I heard about that. Was it rough? Must have been really rough for anyone who might have, you know, changed his mind on what's going on up there a couple of weeks apart. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, Jimbo Fisher had the Aggies ready for that game on Saturday against Alabama. And yet, he threw away all the goodwill and somehow came out looking worse than you would expect after a game where the Aggies were favored to lose by 24 points. How did that happen? We'll tell you about that and about the worst start in Oklahoma history, courtesy of One Texas. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. If you own your home, you need to listen up and grab that phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver you big savings, all without ever talking to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. But it's not a hassle anymore thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a new system that instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. And you'll probably save a bunch of money along the way. Take your phone right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address, send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
One play for one monumental upset for the Aggies. King to throw for it to the corner. Incomplete. Alabama survives at home.
So I was at ACL this weekend, and I was watching this game in my hotel room waiting to go to an after party with a couple of friends, two of whom went to Texas A&M, one of whom went to Alabama. All of these people, let's just say, were not in their element, if you will. And yet, all three people and myself, we were blown away by how bleeping awful that play call was to end the game by Jimbo Fisher. And you got to give the Aggies a little bit of credit for being able to hang in there against a, yes, Alabama team that did not have Bryce Young, that had Jalen Milroe out there who is a little sloppy with the football. So it's not like Alabama was playing their best football and really haven't been playing very impressive. They fell down to number 3 overall in the rankings after what we saw on Saturday night. But that's the play call? A comeback route with Haynes King throwing it to the right sideline to end the game? It was a rough, rough weekend, I think, for Jimbo Fisher, even in a game where the Aggies, undermanned, on the road, were respectable. I didn't think they would be. I thought they were going to get their asses kicked, and mainly because I just think so little of Haynes King as a quarterback. But, I mean, wasn't his fault. That was a terrible play call by Jimbo Fisher. And I thought that there were a lot of bad moments over the course of this one for Jimbo. And I'm not saying, like, oh, you got to pull out your pitchforks and your torches to take this guy out. Not saying that. All I am saying is, if that's the play call by offensive genius Jimbo Fisher, a goal-to-go situation for the game, and you're calling that, I feel like someone needs to have an intervention with you. What is going on offensively? You have an A-chain and an incredible running back. And you're going to run a comeback route with a quarterback who's not capable of it in the corner of the end zone. And, I mean, he missed it by a mile. Of course you knew that was going to happen if that was the play that you called. And we found out afterwards, per Nick Saban, that Saban knew that the play was coming because they had recognized some of the tells that A&M had earlier in the game. So they told him what to do, and guess what? They were there to stop it. Not a good one for Jimbo Fisher. Fisher also had this awkward moment at the beginning of the game. There's warm-ups going on. And for about 6 to 7 minutes, Jimbo Fisher is just awkwardly standing by Nick Saban. I guess because he wanted to mend fences? Here's what it sounded like on the broadcast.
They both got a storyline, but this was pregame. This was uncomfortable. 6 minutes back-to-back, and then all of a sudden...
Somebody said, Coach, Jimbo's over here behind you. And then at that point, they turned, and the former assistant, Jimbo Fisher, and Nick Saban had a handshake. But it wasn't a love fest, let's put it that way, and it didn't last very long. So that was just a few minutes ago.
I hated that more than I hated the play call. Jimbo backing down from those comments about Nick Saban sucks. If you're Texas A&M, you know you're a little culty. Why not have a head coach who is essentially going to, I don't know, lambast the opposition? And then he backs down from it like that? Oh, everything's fine. Yeah, I suggested someone slap the bleep out of Nick Saban, but everything's fine now. I thought that was a weak look. Worse than the play call at the very end. Speaking of weak, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Oklahoma, whoa, what is going on? What is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Brent Venables, ain't it? Did you think that Texas would win by this degree? I thought, and Sean Mapes and I talked about it, and Sean Mapes is our resident UT guy behind the glass. I thought that of all the games for UT in the Red River shootout, to actually win by blowout, this was the one. But the way that you were talking about just the history of this series, you were probably right in thinking that, yeah, that's not going to happen. But Texas beat them 49-0. And it's a game that I feel like more than anything is going to be marked by one of the worst play calls I think that we've ever seen. So before, Sean, you have your thoughts on this. We got to play. They ran a Tebow jump pass. The Oklahoma Sooners did, trailing 21-0 at like the 20-yard line, and it went down like this.
And they don't. Gray's going to pop pass it, and it's intercepted. Barron's got it. They tried to change it up. Eric Gray took a step to the line, went with the pop pass, and Jade Barron picks it off.
I mean, you should like have to commit seppuku on the field after a moment like that. What is going on there? That was a terrible call, and they lose 49-0. I can't believe it was so easy for UT. I mean, Quinn Ewers, he's good. Bijan Robinson, he's good. This is like the worst Oklahoma team we've seen since the 90s, where they were from 1996 through 1998, 12-22 over those 3 years. It's the worst shutout loss ever for Oklahoma. It's the first time in history that Oklahoma has lost two straight games by 30-plus and the first shutout by Texas of OU since 1965. Sean Mapes, a resident UT fan behind the glass. Yeah, your thoughts? Up? Your thoughts?
This is a good game. I like it. I played it well on the Friday picks thing. You know, I feel like
you tried to jinx them, didn't you? You were You were like, no, man, there's too much going in our favor. I can't be a T-sipper right now. I'm going to distance myself and prepare for the pain.
Exactly. And so what? I lost. I lose every pick. Who cares? But no, it was legitimately the perfect game that you could have asked for. Quinn Ewers apparently is just that guy.
He's really good.
Like the best quarterback in college football. And he's played three games.
He had that one touchdown pass down the seam. And this was early.
Yeah, to Sanders.
Oh my God. That was beautiful. I mean, that was in traffic. That was not an easy throw to make.
Yeah. And to me, I mean, at a certain point, once it was like 28-0 at halftime, I flipped from like, this is very impressive, I feel good, to like, I think Oklahoma is just terrible, and there's no reason that Oklahoma's backup quarterback should be that bad.
No.
That they literally could not, like, run pass plays with this guy. It's ridiculous. I'm not even saying they had to be, like, how they were with Lincoln Riley, where they had, like, two straight Heisman Trophy winners, and then Jalen Hurts goes to the ceremony. I'm not even saying you have to do that. I'm just saying have a Hudson Card.
Someone.
Have a Haynes King.
Well, let's not go that far.
Haynes King is so much better than the guy that...
You think so?
They had like 30 yards passing.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, look, UT has a good defense too. I think that gets totally lost in the shuffle. I mean, they didn't look great against Texas Tech, but I think that UT's defense has been a markedly improved unit this year. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there when Lincoln Riley left that were very dismissive of Lincoln Riley's contributions at Oklahoma. I don't know if Venables makes it through this year. Do you feel good about it? I mean, this is one of the last years where they're not in the SEC West. And it's like one of the most historic programs in college football. Like, is this the most successful program in college football history? It's definitely up there outside of Alabama. Like, they're number two probably. I mean, they've been good forever. That stretch that they had in the 90s, that was 25 bleeping years ago where they sucked.
And it was 2 years long.
Right. That's it. And they were great before that. And, I mean, they've been awesome for pretty much their entire history.
I say, though, you got to give Brent Venables as much time as he needs.
Mm.
Personally, I think you just got to let him build the program in his image. And, you know, Saturday was a good starting point, I think, for that. So I say sign him to extension. You don't want the Carolina Panthers poaching him. You don't want Nebraska poaching Brent Venables. Just keep him around, OU.
He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. I guess I mispronounced. I'm not even going to say it now. I said Sepuku. I guess that's not the pronunciation. I'm sorry. Sudoku. Got it. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in too. The Mariners got the vibes right now, guys. And an old Astros friend is not going to be in this year's playoffs. Why? Pretty hilarious reason. You'll find out next.
ESPN 97.5.